Well, good evening. Thank you for your time this evening to join us as we read the scriptures together and comment on them and look for a message at this particular time. Just before we read, I just want to pray briefly. O God, our Father, as we open thy word and consider it together, we pray for thy help. We pray for illumination to understand the meaning of thy words. And we pray, Father, that we may pay very close attention. We thank thee, Father, for the truth of the gospel that comes out in every page of scripture. And we just pray, Father, as we think on these things, consider these things together today, that thou wilt help us. And we pray, Father, that thou would call us to thyself. And we pray, Father, that we might be willing to hear thy voice and obey. So, Father, be with us now, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I'd like to consider a very well-known passage this evening, Psalm 23, but I'll also refer to some passages in the New Testament as well in John's Gospel. So let's begin just by reading Psalm 23 together. Many of you will be able to quote this. I'm sure it's very familiar to so many. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that psalm is a psalm that gives tremendous comfort to so many, doesn't it? So many people turn to it in their hour of need. And they realize that the expressions that are coming out of the mouth of David, and presumably he would sing, because this is the Psalms are the Psalter of Israel. They used to sing these things in Hebrew, of course, the language that they spoke at that time. And what you're seeing or hearing here is the deep breathings of his heart, how he felt. And it's lovely to consider his total dependence upon his God. And he spoke of his God as the shepherd. God has many titles, but this was one lovely title that God assumes. David, of course, knew all about shepherding. He was a shepherd boy, famously. And we all know the story of how he slew Goliath with those five stones when he was really a stripling, is how they describe, he was described. Just a very, very young man. And yet, even at that tender age, David was mature. Spiritually, he loved the Lord and he sought to serve him. And he thought that this giant that was defying the armies of Israel would be beaten. And he was willing to take him on. So it was, I'm not going to go into that story this evening. But I just want to have that in the back of our minds. But David's early experience was characterized by being looking after sheep, by being out in the hills and guiding them and taking them to the water, taking them to the places where you would have lovely green verdant grass for the sheep to eat. And occasionally as he would lead them, sometimes he would lead them through deep valleys and the sheep would naturally speaking be afraid, but they drew comfort from him. And so the sheep would know his voice and they would follow him and he would guide them. And he would use his crook, his staff, to protect them and to help them if any of them got stuck. And as David thought about the care that he was experienced in giving, and no doubt enjoyed giving, as he reflected on that, he realized that that's the way the Lord looked after him. And so he could say with all sincerity, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't want for anything. I'm going to be cared for. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Just as David would lead the sheep to those pastures and they would partake in order to restore their bodies of the animals to make them feel satiated. So David thought that in a sense, that's what it's like spiritually for him. As he reflects on the Lord, he's saying that the Lord restores my soul. He is feeding me because he is leading me. Tremendous. And I was thinking at this particular time, there's a lot of people in fear. A lot of people have a lot of fears. We're living in a strange time because of this pandemic that has swept the globe. And many people are in fear of catching it. They're in fear also that, you know, they could die early. We know it does affect some people very badly. And the scientists don't know. They can't seem to predict why that's the case. They don't really understand it. But there is no doubt that that is the case. And so people are in fear. You know, my favorite bit of this psalm is when David said, speaking about this valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. You know, in anyone's hour of need, when they're in fear, having someone with them they trust is the most valuable thing. And so David said, I will fear no evil. In effect, I'm not worried about anything because thou art with me. The Lord was with him. Now let me ask you the question today. Do you have that kind of relationship that David had with his God? You see the strength that he drew, tremendous strength from that, because he had a real, genuine, intimate, you would say, relationship with God. He studied, he read his word, he prayed, he composed these beautiful Psalms, which were written, David lived about 1,000 years before Christ. And it demonstrates as you read through the Psalms, this is only one of in a large collection of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms in all. He didn't write all the Psalms, but he wrote the vast majority of them, and he earns the title in Scripture, the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. And just as we all have an appreciation for poetry, the Psalms are poetry, but they're spiritual poetry. They're written by a godly man. David is described so wonderfully in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. God says that about him. And so that man who had that intimate relationship with God could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that begs the question, can you say that? Can you say genuinely, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You see, not everyone can say that. I mean, there's lots of people that have no interest in the Scriptures, no interest in God. And yet in their hour of crisis, they will come and read a psalm and assume that it would apply to them. But of course, that's not the case. In order to draw comfort from a psalm like this and to make it your own, you need to be like David. You need to be a man that is trusting in God. A man or a woman that has faith in God, just as David did. At this time of crisis, some people might be wondering, does God care? Do you know the answer to that? Is God remote and distant and not caring, or does God care? And as you think about that not insignificant question, you have to also consider, well, where are you going to get your answer? Are you going to guess? Should we not turn to what Scripture says and consider what God has said himself? The Lord Jesus said a lovely thing in Matthew. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 10. Let me read you this verse. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father?" So the Lord Jesus is basically explaining that these little birds, you know, I mean, we don't buy and sell sparrows. We would buy and sell bigger birds, right? Chickens and turkeys and things like that. But in that culture and in the poverty that was there at that time, they would even buy and sell sparrows. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I assume he's picking a sparrow because it's a small little bird, and he said it's sold for a farthing. It's sold for very little money. In the grand estimate of things, this little bird is just a little thing. Not very valuable, right? And yet, he says, one of those little sparrows, if it falls to the ground, the Father knows about it. Doesn't happen without his okay and effect. And the Lord Jesus is saying that to explain about how much care the Father has for us. He tells us about the hairs in our head, how that they're all numbered. The Lord knows exactly how many hairs in your head you have. And he knows that because he cares. And also because he's made us. We believe that. We don't believe any of this evolutionary nonsense. We trust the Scriptures. We trust what God has said. And God has made us. And God, when he made Adam and Eve, he made them in his image, which is very interesting. And so there's something very precious about human life. I want you to consider another passage with me on the theme still of the shepherd, but now in the New Testament. And you read this in John chapter 10. And there's one verse that says this: I am the good shepherd. You might have heard of that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so the Lord Jesus, in that whole chapter, you can read it at your leisure, is a wonderful chapter, John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus is taking the title of shepherd. And he illustrates there the difference between a hired shepherd looking after some sheep, that when a wolf comes, will run away, and the difference between that and the genuine shepherd, a good shepherd who would really care for the sheep, one who really the sheep really belong to. And when a wolf comes, that shepherd will not run away. And so the Lord Jesus is illustrating that. And then he underlines that point by saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, what he was indicating there ahead of time is, because he never held back from really indicating this, that he was going to die. That is a reference to his death on the cross of Calvary that was coming soon. The good shepherd would give his life for the sheep. And what that illustrates is his care. He cares so much that he would give his life. But then if you read further down that chapter, it's very interesting. I'll read a bit more. In verse 19 it says this: there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Isn't it interesting that there is a division amongst men when they're considering the Lord Jesus? You see, some will just cast him aside and say, he's mad. Why would you believe him? And others are more thoughtful and they say, you can't say he's a devil. A devil doesn't open the eyes of a blind man. John goes on in his gospel and he tells us that Jesus was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews came up to him and they asked him a very important question. They said, how long do you make us to doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. That's a good question, isn't it? They wanted him to say, just tell us clearly, because everyone is saying that you're the Christ. Jesus answered him and he says, I told you. In other words, I've already told you. And he says, and ye didn't believe. I've told you that, and ye didn't believe. Then he went on to say, the works that I do, that's a reference in particular to things like the miracles. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye don't believe. Ye believe not. He says, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, notice the very important thing that he said there. Ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. So to be a sheep, you need to believe. And that's where the division is. You see, in this world, there are people who believe in Christ. And I am one of them. Absolutely, I believe with all my heart in him. I believe he is who he says he is. I believe what Scripture says about him. that he is the eternal Son of the eternal God. And he went to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago and he died for you and for me. But you see, not everybody believes in him. And if you do not believe in him, then you can't call him your shepherd. You see that? You see the logic of that? The Lord is absolutely making no bones about that. You have to believe to be one of his sheep. What is really interesting in Scripture, and we're not going to dwell on this point today, but Scripture teaches us that believing is really the only thing that we have to do. Scripture also teaches that we do need to repent, in the sense that we need to turn away from our past, turn away from our sinful ways, and believe. But that's not the thing that saves. The thing that saves is our belief, our trusting in him, if we believe in him. The Lord Jesus went on and he said, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe I'm the Christ, if you don't believe what I say, then he said, believe the works, because the works testify of me. So what he was saying was, believe your eyes. What have you seen with your own eyes? They had seen blind restored to sight. They had seen or heard of him raising the dead. Lazarus was brought forth from the tomb when he'd been dead for 4 days. The Lord Jesus was able to walk in water. The Lord Jesus was able to raise a man that was paralyzed and restore him to being able to walk again. It would seem from a miracle point of view, there was nothing the Lord Jesus could not do. He never attempted any miracle, any healing, which he wasn't able to perform. And he could do that because of who he was. He was, without doubt, the Son of God. That's a fact. The real question is whether you believe that or not. Will you accept that or not? You see, the Lord Jesus is divisive in that sense. You either believe or you do not. And right after this incident that we were reading, it says they took up stones to stone him, and they were about to stone him, and he said, why are you going to stone me? He says, for which good work that I have done are you going to stone me? Because he had only done good works. And they said, not for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you are making yourself God. Because you see, he said, I and the Father are one. And in saying that, he's making himself equal with God. And so they said, you're making yourself God. And he said to them, he said, Scripture calls us gods. That's a reference to the Psalms. Call them gods unto whom the word of God came. But why do you say that thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? Me whom the Father has sanctified, that is set apart and sent into the world. You're saying I'm blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? And then he went on and he said, if you don't believe me, he says, believe the works because the works testify of the Father. That is, the miracles testify of the Father, because only a man can only do these things if God is helping him. Think of the words of Nicodemus spoken in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, so famous. He came to the Lord Jesus by night, and his opening gambit was, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him. You see the logic of that? There's no way anyone can do what you do except God is with you. So we know you're come from God. That man Nicodemus, even though he was a teacher amongst the Jews, a rabbi, ended up believing in Christ and trusting in him, in fact, was one of the two men that took the responsibility to remove the Lord Jesus from his cross of Calvary and to place him in a tomb. So it all comes back to this question. Do we believe? You know, in all the unsettlement that's going on in the world, with all of the demonstrations that are going on, all the riots, and against the backdrop of this global pandemic, it is a time when many, many will fear. But those that trust in the Lord, you know, they have something that they can depend on. They have a solid rock. And that can be yours today if you will believe in him. You must believe in him. There is no other answer. This is the truth of God. And so I would exhort you, I would encourage you to read the scriptures for yourself. Read John's gospel that I've been reading. Maybe after you've been reading the Psalms a little bit. And read John's gospel. And you will see the truth there. That Jesus was the Son of God. And he came to save you and I. And we can have him as our shepherd. We can move from, scripture says elsewhere, it describes it as the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We can be moved from one place to another simply through believing in him. And in doing that, he will place his spirit with you, and his spirit will guide you and strengthen you and help you even in these times of fear. I will just close with a brief word of prayer. O God, our Father, we bow in thy presence today and give thanks for your word. We give thanks for the scriptures that we've read together. And we pray as we consider these things that you will help us to come to faith. Come to that point where we trust in the Lord Jesus and believe in him. We thank thee for who he was. He was thy son. And he came into the world to save sinners. And we pray, Father, that we might see that. Give us a vision of Calvary and what transpired there. We thank thee for the truth of it. And we delight in it and we draw comfort from it today. We pray, Father, thou would help everyone who's listening today to believe. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.